First Timothy 6. If you don't mind, you can get to your feet. We're going to do us customary around here. You might not like the preacher, but you're going under the word. Hey, do me a favor and just, well, they all leave it anyway. I guess y'all done greeted each other today. I got 2 hours and 12 minutes. All the new people say, is he joking? No, I'm not joking. Are you there? Let's read it together. Ready? Read. Yeah, that's what I thought. You was waiting on me, and I'm not. Ready? Read. I said First Timothy, right? Yeah, that's not no First Timothy 6 and 12. You need to look at your neighbor and say, I don't know what school you went to. I don't even know if you need no diploma or no degree. I don't even know. No, I'm good. Let's do it again. You shouldn't even need to read the Bible. Ready, read. Set myself in agreement with the president's house. You can have your seat. One of my intents was today was I was going to have people just stand up and tell me what they have been getting, because if you can't tell me what you're getting, then you're not getting anything. Do you hear me? You're listening, but it's not making a big enough imprint. And this stuff is important to me. It should be important to you, because it's so foundational. Say foundational. And foundations are important because, you know, how many of y'all from the city, for real? Some of y'all be claiming city and you ain't nowhere near no city. You ever seen skyscrapers, like real skyscrapers? They'll be working in that hole, Sister Kena, for months. 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, a year. They working in a hole. And if you come through there, how long they been working? A year. And they ain't got nothing in the hole. What does that tell you when they digging in and working at pouring that concrete and putting that rebar down in there? What's happening in that hole? They putting in a foundation, because once they start going up, they're going to go up and they're going to go up. They're going to hit the 30th floor. They're going to keep going up and up and up. And what you got to realize is that when I'm spending time on stuff, foundational stuff, I'm working on your foundation so God can really take you where you want to go. But if you ain't got no interest in it, you know, go ahead and start pouring your concrete. Let's see how far you go. That's what people want to do this generation. They want to just go in. They want to get, you know, and that's why people love like prophecy and stuff like that. People call themselves speaking into. That's why they love that kind of stuff, because it don't require them to go deeper. Tell somebody, say, go deeper. Then when you start going up, you know, then you can be effective in the things of God. Anybody interested in that? So we've been dealing with a lot of things over the last, I think this is the third week, right? The third week. And just trying to get you in a place to where we can know what it's going to take for us to get what God really wants us to have. You know, I was listening to, I'm going to use these extra minutes. My time hadn't started yet. But listening to Deacon Henry, really kind of try to encourage people the questions that they were asking during Sunday school was so foundational and basic that anybody should be able to answer them. And he gave people a pass because he attributed to, you know, they may just be afraid. You know, everybody know everybody up here. It ain't like you in no new church. Ain't like we're in no new church. Right. And so, you know, it's so interesting because even on yesterday, and again, my time has not started. I'm going to start it in a second. But I was telling my wife that, and this is where I'll be going. I don't think I'll have enough time to get to it this week, but this is where I'm going with this, is that I was sharing with my wife that the enemy is the master of deception. He's the master at deception. And so when he wants you to stop something, he'll try to make you feel like it's ineffective. Like it ain't getting no better. I've been tithing. I ain't seen no big reward. Hey, just keep your mouth shut. Keep praising God. Keep confessing the word. That means that your harvest is building up. And when you get it, you'll get it all at one time. Because God is not a man that he should lie. So the enemy will be deceiving people. I'm not changing. I'm not growing. This ain't going to get no better. Say it's the lies, lies. Jesus says that he's the father of lies. One version says when he speaks of himself because he's a liar. And that's what he's doing to many people in the body of Christ. You know, to tell my wife, I said a couple of things, but one of them was along this lines that you have to know who to, one, this is different, but you have to know who to pour out into. Like if you're pouring out into a person and they're a leaking vessel, stop wasting your water and your anointing on them. Let them do whatever they want to. What if something gonna happen? If they don't ask, they ain't paying no attention, whatever happened. None of your business. But you don't have to keep giving of yourself to people who keep wasting what you're procuring for them. You labor before God. You get the water. You get the anointing. You bring it to them, and then they dump it on the floor. I thought you was thirsty. You did all this shouting and pleading and crying and running. I thought you was thirsty, and God brought you the anointing, and then you poured it out. You poured it out. And so I said, you know, I said this 2 weeks ago, nothing nobody do at this point in my life can disappoint me, because I've realized people are people. And when you put too much confidence in people, that's how you get let down. So I don't put, it's all equal. Say it's all equal. But I was sharing with him, I said, God said that the devil has been trying to deceive you. Have been trying to, like, not you, me, deceive me into believing that nothing is working. And then he'll use people and the church ain't growing. Listen, look at me. The average black church that we associate with, affiliate with this church, you know, the outside of this week, I guess people got money. It's payday or either, whatever. So they ain't gonna come to church when they got money. But, most people don't. That's why the devil keep them broke. But I said the average church we hanging out with, you know, got 4, 5, 10 people. I think it was 80 people in here last week. Been averaging, you know, right at that. And then people say it ain't about the numbers, you know, then what are we doing this for? If you ain't trying to catch no fish, what's the point of having bait or having a boat, paying all that money for a boat, sitting out there throwing the rod out into the ocean, and you say ain't even no fish over here? What's the point in going out there? And I said, and then, you know, economically, God has blessed us from the living room with no people and no money and no resources and no equipment and nothing to just where we at in a few years. I would say God is doing something, and be not deceived. God is you watching people change before your eyes. Everybody ain't changing, because some people are not going to submit to the word of God, and then they digress, and then you won't see them no more. And that's why John says, if they was for you, they still be with you. But because you don't see them, they was never with you. That Bible, yeah, John said that. He says the reason why they're not with you is because they was never for you. That's why they're not with you now. So you don't trip when people not with you no more. What should you do? Try to catch other fish. Catch replacement fish. Catch an abundance of fish. Fillet them, put them in the deep freezer till you understand. But one thing about it, say, I ain't going to cry about the one that got away. Are you following me? And so he was trying to deceive me. I mean, all kind of things. You have no idea the things that go through my mind sometimes, you know, and I make no qualms about them. But, you know, God said he's trying to deceive you. Watch this. If what you was doing wasn't working, why would the enemy be attacking you? If it was ineffective, that means that you're no threat to him. Shouldn't he be wasting his time, putting his time on something else? He walks around, 1 Peter 5, as a roaring lion, meaning that he can't be in every place at the same time. He's not omnipresent. So you got to be doing something right for God for him to invest his time, or you got a calling on your life that you're not aware of, but he sees it. Do you know other times, many times, the devil and people can see what's on people before they ever recognize what they got? And so he started investing time in you because he know you're not spending no time with God to really understand who you are. So he's going to ensure that you never know who you are, and he's going to take you out beforehand. But how many know that we ain't going out like that? And so he says he's not wasting time on you because you're ineffective. He's not wasting time on your ministry because y'all not doing nothing. He's spending time. He's investing time attacking your ministry and attacking your people and the people God, not my people, the people God has assigned to this place, because in the realm of the spirit, say something is about to happen. Something is about. He knows. Something is about to happen. And so his job, he do his job. He good at what his job is. And so the point is that every believer in Christ, you already involved in spiritual conflict. You might not do nothing about it because so many, they so weak, people so weak. They won't do nothing to strengthen themselves where they can be an admirable foe, you know, to the enemy. They only want to fight if they could, you know, if they know it's some, like somebody, you know, they always want to fight somebody if they can whoop, but anybody that's competition, they bag down. And that's where many Christians are. If it's an easy fight, they'll go. But if it's something that's going to cause us to go 4, 5, 6 rounds, 7, 8 rounds, now it's endurance. Now it ain't just, I'm just going to go and knock you out. Now it's mental. Now it's what you've been training. It's been what you've been investing in yourself spiritually. And then it comes down to heart at the end. If your opponent is still standing and you feel like you're in the last round of who going to get the breakthrough or the title or lose the breakthrough or lose your title. If you in the last round, now it's all about who wants it the most. Who wants it the most? I done lost some rounds, but I'm still standing. He lost some rounds, but he's still standing. Now it comes down to fighting the good fight. Ask your neighbor, do you really want it? Do you really? All this talk, people talk too much for me. Always talking about what they, I'm going to, someday, I'm about to, I'm fixing. Ain't did nothing. Say, today is your day. Today is your day. All this talk. Don't nobody want to hear no talk. We want to see some results. Do you want results? Do you want your life to change? Do you want your marriage to change? I'm trying to get delivered. What are you doing to get delivered? You ain't doing nothing to get delivered. You like what you're doing. That's why you keep doing it. You like where you're going. You like losing. Now, evidently, you like it. Because if you wanted to win, God has equipped us to win. So you're already in a spiritual fight. What's our job? Say, fight the good fight of faith three times. Fight the good fight of faith. That's your job. That's your responsibility. And so he says, fight the good fight of faith. This ain't no suggestion. God never asks you to do something that you can't do. And this is where you people mess up. They always, a real mentor won't listen to you talk like that. See, many people we call mentors are just our friends or our associates. They don't challenge you worth nothing. Because most of the time, birds of a feather flock together. They exactly like you. But when you get a mentor not going to listen to that. They're going to start challenging you. They're going to start poking you and seeing what you're doing and what you're doing wrong. They're going to be seeing if you're training when you're supposed to be training, or was you eating honey buns and sugar water, sweet Kool-Aid. Were you training or was you doing something else? I remember Minister Avance told one brother, he was trying to lose weight, and he was telling Mr. Avance that he was doing this and he was running and he was eating right. And I can't remember how he said it, but I'm going to say it this way. Scales don't lie. If you was doing it right, you know, say spiritual scales don't lie. When you heavy and weighted in the spirit, the devil knows that he can't handle you. He knows this already. And so he says, fight the good fight. He says, lay hold, take hold of eternal life. Now, this sounds like aggression to me. Like a lot of people can't, they don't really like me. You know, a lot of times people get healed, they get their victory, and then they get gone. Because really, they come to me because they need to be pushed into a place of victory. That's why they come. And when they win, I don't hardly see them no more. But the whole point of it is because they think I'm too aggressive. But they don't know that you could have got the title. You settled for some old slum victory, but you could have got all this, but you didn't want nobody. You don't like aggression. Too aggressive for you. Too aggressive. Thank you, darling. Too aggressive for you. Push too hard. Challenge too much. How many know that's the hour that we live in? Only the strong gonna survive. If you ain't strong, if nobody's been challenging you and pushing you into your victory, I can guarantee you, baby, you're not gonna get there. But this group right here, you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it there. You're gonna get what God says. I believe I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna make it. He says, to which you were called when you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So the Christian life is a life of struggles. Do you not realize that? Did you not know what you sign up for? You know, it's like being a boxer and don't expect to get popped. Shadow boxing is different than boxing. Shadow boxing is just somebody beating the air with no opponent. They look sweet until they get hit. I remember Mike Tyson say, everybody got a plan until they get hit. Every Christian got a plan about what they're going to do to the devil until he hit them. Everybody talk about what they're going to do and what wouldn't happen to them until they got hit. But when you get hit and you're trained and you're ready, then you can say, okay, you got me. Now I know what to do. Some of you know what to do. You just got to put it out. But the life is full of a life of struggle. And it requires what? Knowing how to persevere. Watch this. And stay loyal to Christ. When you blame, you know, when you blame Christ for your losses, that's like a boxer blaming the trainer for his loss, and you was the one out there fighting. You the one in the fight. He not in the fight. He can only advise you what to do. And how many know that Jesus will not come and personally fight for you? He trains you. He prepares. He's at the right hand of the Father. So if you're going to win in this life, you got to follow the instructions. What are the instructions? The instructions are the scriptures. You have to hide the word in you. You got to have the word of God in you. If you're not a lover of the word, you're really not a follower of God, because God, Jesus, is the word. Now, this, I don't know how to make that. That might not make you shout, but it is a God honest truth. A person that is not a lover of the world is not a follower of Christ, because he speaks to us through his word. And a lot of people love Christianity, but they ain't too fond of Christ, because Christ is always challenging you to do something, telling you to do it. Do it in my name. Cast it out in my name. Bind it in my name. Say, fight the good fight of faith. Those sound like aggressive instructions. And so So watch this. There are going to be times that you got to contend. You have to contend with your adversaries. That sometimes you got to contend with your adversaries. I don't know why this boxing analogy is in my mind. I wanted to watch a fight last night, that kid named Davis, but I couldn't. I had too much going on. But a boxer understands that when you can't really pick your fights until you become champion. Once you're a contender, you pick who they want you to fight. Once you become champion, then you can pick your fights. You can decide, this the area I'm going in. This the devil I'm going to conquer this year. This one, I'm gonna get him as soon as I finish with this one over here, because I'm champion. How many know that if Christ in you, you really a champion? You got to stop acting like a regular contender. You already got it. And so when he got what you want, then you got to aggressively go after it. And so he says that you got to go after these things that are challenging or trying to steal the word of God. Watch this, that you already know and believe. So, let me park right here for a second. Dick and Henry, can you come in for a second? Can you heat this up and bring this back? But I was listening to this guy this week. He was 60, so I think he said he'd been pastoring, thank you, sir, if you bring it back, for about 30 years. He a bishop. He was over 44 churches. 44 of the pastors, I guess. And this guy was talking about, how the Bible and where the Bible come from. He was listening to somebody, and then he listened to somebody else. And they was got him to a point to where he started questioning. He know that the Holy Spirit was Holy Scriptures was written and inspired by men as they was moved by the Holy Ghost. But he was like, it's got to be more than this. Listen to me carefully. It's got to be more than the Bible. It has to be more than this. Where did the Bible come from? And he went on to say, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. No, sir. This is it. This is it. And I told my wife, based off of him questioning the word and this desire for more, and the Bible can't be all that is that there is. Now watch this. I said, if this man had really been born again, he would have had spent so much time with the word of God that the God of the Bible would have been real to him and he wouldn't have needed no more. But the fact that he was on this quest to look for more let me know that people have been listening to a man that probably wasn't even born again himself. And so they're walking in darkness, because Jesus said the blind leads the blind. How are you going to be over those many pastors and getting away with this? And then you got the veracity to say that the Bible ain't enough. That's got to be, you saying there's got to be another God? Why? Because if you don't have a hunger and a love for the word of God, you got to question whether you're a follower of Christ or not, or if you're just selling for being Christian. See, that's a title. It don't mean that you're actually a follower of Christ. Ask your neighbor, are you a real follower? Are you a real follower? Are you a real... Because you can fall in love with church. You can fall in love with singing. You can fall in love with preaching. But a preached word that you ain't got no desire to do nothing, it's nothing. It's clinging brass and sounding cymbal. It's nothing to you if you don't want to put it into operation. What is God supposed to be with somebody that don't practice the word? That don't practice him. This is the hymn book. H-I-M, capital H-I-M. It is the hymn book. Everything in this book is about him. It's the hymn book. Not the singing song, but this is all about Christ from Genesis to say it's all about him. So watch this. You called to defend your faith. That's why he said, fight the good fight. If you can't defend your faith, then how are you going to plan on keeping it? Pay attention to me. If you can't defend your faith, is your faith in this gospel? What's stopping you from being Muslim tomorrow? I listened to a man, he was on the radio. He's out of Memphis, but he was basically talking about yoga. That is not just an exercise. And those movements and how you contort your body and all those things, and then how they have you breathing and what you're saying is the worship of a God. And he was talking about have to delivering people who call themselves practicing yoga from demons, because once they start worshiping that God, he sent forth other demons to torment their body. And they had no sickness. Nothing was wrong with them until they started this stuff. So how are you going to defend your faith from Islam, a Muslim, or some other deity or God out there if you can't defend your faith? Is defending your faith important? Is knowing something about the scriptures important? Is knowing how to rightly divide the word of truth important? Yes, it's important. Is knowing how to lead somebody to Christ important? Yes, it's important. Should we want to do that? So you call to defend your faith. In other words, if you want healing, if God gave you a word, you defend that word. If you want the prophecy that's been spoken over your life to come to pass, it's not going to happen automatically. You got to defend that word. Say amen to this. If you want your marriage to work, you have to defend your vows. When you violate your vows, you're opening yourself up to demon spirits. Are you following what I'm saying? It's not just you breaking some vow. If you want to defend the sanctity of your marriage, you defend your vows. Watch this. So you can honor your vows, meaning you can't be talking to everybody in every place. I don't counsel women by myself. I don't ride with women by myself. I don't let nobody call me like that. Why? Because I got to defend my vows. Clap your hands real good right there. Clap your hands real good right there. If I wanted to tell you some stories about defending your vows, I wouldn't tell you. I let my wife tell you. Stuff is so easy these days. And how many know that the devil, say, fight the good fight of faith. The devil just after your spiritual walk. If you got an anointing, he after your anointing. But you don't know how to defend yourself, so you keep giving in. Say, defend your faith. Defend your faith. If you want to live free of addictions, then you have to defend your deliverance. How do you defend your deliverance? You throw away the books. You get rid of the numbers. You pour off the alcohol. You don't burn the marijuana because you'll get high right there. You flush it down the toilet. You got to be a dum-dum and you know somebody addicted to drugs, and then you're going to give them some drugs. Say, defend it, defend it, defend it. And that's why John said in John 8:32, he says, you'll know the truth and the truth shall make you free. So if the truth makes you free, what does a lie do to you? Huh? It puts you in bondage. And that's why people got sexual addiction, alcohol addictions, porn addictions, fighting addictions, anger addictions. Are you following me? That because they're lying somewhere. And you might not see them all the time, but they got a lying demon. If the Spirit of God, Jesus says, my word is true. They who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. And so if the word makes you free, a lie puts you in bondage. But the Holy Ghost is here to free you today if you want to be free. You got to defend your deliverance. If you ain't doing nothing to deliver it, no wonder you keep going back. No wonder you keep backsliding. No wonder you can't stay out of their face. No wonder you keep... Say defend it, defend it, defend it. So what does it take to be successful and succeed when you're talking about overcoming attacks? You're already in it. What is going? I told my wife a few months ago, I said, we under an attack. Not that one, this one, y'all. I said, we are. If you get the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. That's right. So while you're worried about yourself first, you should be worried about your first line of defense. See, when people steal pastor's time, that pastor is on a demonic attack. I don't care if it's church people. I don't care if it's kids. I don't care if it's grandkids. I don't care if it's an employer. When that man or that woman cannot spend time to preach the word of God, they are under demonic attack. And that's what you have to understand. What is it going to take to overcome them? You got to have a, say this, you got to have a heart to fight.
How long I've been up here? I ain't stopped my time.
You got to have a heart to fight. So if you believe God's word, if you believe God, then you stand your ground. Say amen to this. If you got a word that you believe, you stand your ground when the devil come forward. That you sick, you're going to die. See, because once he gets you to agree with it, that this, you know, if somebody say, oh, it's no cure for this. Once you buy into that no cure business, you done took your care yourself out the sector where you can receive a miracle. You're going to die from that. Oh, you hear what I'm saying? And so once he gets you to believe that your marriage is over, you're not going to fight no more. You're not going to resist. You're just going to cave in, and whatever will be, will be. It's not whatever will be. It's whatever that you happen is going to be. Whatever you defend, you can win. Whatever you won't defend, you'll lose. Are you following what I'm saying? Say, fight the good fight of faith. But it's up to you. It's not up to me. People blame the church. Oh, this is a church. It's a church. It's a church. No, it's you. Your prayer life is non-existence. Your studying is raggedy. You won't leave them friends. It's no good alone. You're in the same places, doing the same thing, talking the same conversation, watching the same film. There ain't nothing wrong with the church. It's your life that you won't dedicate unto God. But if you will dedicate your life to God, you're going to come out, baby, with a victory. You're going to come out victorious. You will win. No, don't be blaming no church. Don't be blaming no. That's a cop out. Say, that's a cop out. Everybody running around blaming churches. They ain't did nothing that the preacher ever preached. They ain't did nothing that he ever taught. They halfway come. Say that's a cop out. That's a cop out. If you prepared yourself to win, you would win. If you don't prepare yourself to win, you're preparing to lose. By default, you lose if you don't prepare to win. God is trying to prepare you to win this morning. I say God is trying to prepare you to win this morning. You can get mad. You might not shout about it. It might not make you happy, but you know it's true.
I'm not even going to worry about the time. When I get done, then I'm done.
So watch this. You got to stand your ground in the situation that you're in. If you do, you come out victorious. If you don't stand your ground, you guaranteed to lose. And the Lord said to tell somebody today, don't just sit around and see what happens.
Some of you in some situations, you said, we're just going to wait and see. I'm just going to see how it works out. You're going to lose. You sit there and you wait. You're going to lose. Don't sit around and see what happens. If you sit there and do nothing, the devil will alter your outcome. Preach, Holy Ghost. If what God has for me, it is for you. It is for you. That don't mean you're going to get it. The business God has for me, it is for me. It is for you. Don't mean that you're going to ever do it. The spouse God got for me, it is for me. It is, they are for you, but that don't mean you're going to get them. You mean to tell me that the devil can alter my outcome, my destiny? Yes. Yes. When you do nothing and just sit back and see what's going to happen, he's already working on you losing. He's already working on diverting your course. And you're saying, if God, no, God wants you to be healed. It don't mean that you're going to be. God wants you to live in abundance. It don't mean that you're going to be. If abundance, again, if it dropped in people's life, everybody would be rich and prosperous. But the average person not going to do nothing to get it. They're not finna go no school, even though I've been telling you for years to go to school. You ain't went yet, and then you crying and moaning and bellyaching that you ain't making enough money. In 2 years, you could have had an associate's degree and you'd already be making at least 25% more. But if abundance dropped in their lap, they take it. If deliverance, if God did it, if it didn't require them to watch what they was watching and watch their mouths and control their thoughts and their bodies and cutting some people off, even your family, sometimes your family is your own worst enemy. None of Jesus' brothers followed him or supported his ministry. Only James at the end, none of them followed him. None of them did what. And sometimes they wasn't good for him early. And sometimes when you're trying to go someplace, they ain't good for you either. You're not no darn kid. You a grown woman. You a grown man. You can still love them without making them pull you, letting them pull you back into their hell hole. Say amen to this. They grown, they responsible for working out their own soul salvation, and so are you. They're grown, they're responsible for working out their own soul salvation, and so are you. Kids, maybe, work with them. So the Spirit of the Lord says, don't sit around and do nothing. In other words, whatever you let happen, it's going to happen. Whatever you, it's not just an imagination. Sometimes God be trying to show us what the negative outcome can be. And it will be if you just let it happen. Say amen to this. Your job is to resist the spirits. Your job is to resist what he is telling you. If it goes against the word of God, your job is to resist it. Your job is to cast down imagination. Your job is, so you following what I'm saying? But if you just sit back, you're on your way to a loss. You're resisting. Say, I won't be passive. Say, I won't be passive. And I heard the Lord to say, you got to be spiritually aggressive right now. You got to be spiritually aggressive. You got to be spiritually aggressive. For some of you, you got a lot at stake right now. You got a lot at stake. Other people ain't got nothing going on. You got a lot at stake right now, and you can't just sit around and do nothing. Go to 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. Be aggressive. Say that. Be aggressive right now. So I won't be passive. I won't be weak. I'm telling you, them people aggravate me. Do you know why? Because don't nothing be wrong with them. And it's because they've grown accustomed to somebody always doing the heavy lifting for them. They're accustomed for somebody always encourage them. They act like they can't do nothing without an encouraging roar. Say, stop being so weak. If you know what to do, do it. I say, if you know what to do, do it. If you know how to win, don't wait for nobody to come and help you. Just get up and do it. I've been doing things all through the house, and sometimes it requires more than one person, right, to do what I'm doing. You know, just a whole bunch of things, various things, and then I'll walk away from it. I'll walk away from it, or I'll go to sleep. And as I wake up, God will say, if you do it this way, you can do the work of a couple men doing it this way. Do it this way. Say, but I'm not going to not do nothing waiting on somebody to come and help me when this. I got too much at stake. I can't be waiting for you. If you want to be here, you be here. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, whose adversary? It's your adversary. Your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion, what, seeking whom he may devour. Go to verse 9, for whatever reason. Verse 9, and watch what Peter says. What are you to do? Resist steadfast in the faith. Are you seeing this? Is this making good sense, or can you only follow people on TV? Whom you resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Somebody's winning with the same situation you keep losing with. The same situation that you act like you can't get no victory in, God says somebody is winning with the same cars. Somebody ain't got no husband and they still winning. Somebody grew up without a mama and they still winning. Somebody went through a divorce and they still winning. Somebody got fired and they still winning. Somebody recovered from cancer, had cancer, and they still winning. You can win if you want to win. Say amen to this. Your job is to resist steadfast in the faith. Say that. Resist steadfast in the faith. So watch this. How do you resist in the faith? How do you do that? You resist in the faith. Watch this. Number one, by submitting yourself to God. Once you submit yourself to God, because this is many people ain't submitted to God. They only saved on Sunday, and if they come on Wednesdays for 2 hours each. The rest of the time they're doing whatever the heck they want to do with whoever they want to do it, wherever they want to do it, because ain't nobody watching. If you really saved, you know the Holy Ghost is in there, right? So whatever they want to do, they do it. So he says, submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to God. Watch this. Once you start submit, because if you're submitting yourself to God, am I going too fast? If you're submitting yourself to God, then you're submitting yourself to the Word. So once I'm submitted to the Word of God, watch this. Then I can, because I gotta not yield to Him. Once I submit myself to God and not yield to the devil and not yield to my flesh, you do know they are different, right? Unless you're possessed by a devil, the devil comes at you, and sometimes you have to resist your own self. Say amen to this, because a lot of people can't deny their own flesh, and they don't realize that their flesh talks to them, and your flesh waits till you weak, and then your flesh starts trying to get you to feed it, because your flesh loves pleasure, and your flesh will not live without without pleasure unless you put pressure on it. So once James 4:7, because he says, submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and then he'll flee. So when you're trying to resist steadfast in the faith, you got to be submitted unto God. If you're not submitted unto God, then you're going to yield to your flesh, or you're going to yield to the devil. Either one works against the will of God. Are you following me? And so when you do this, he says, submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So what I was doing yesterday, I was resisting the devil. And I had to tell my wife, he is trying to deceive us out the will of God. He's trying to deceive us out the plan of God. He's trying to deceive you to move and do something else. Didn't know, it ain't hard for me to get another church preaching someplace in another state. A lot of people would run. Oh, you follow what I'm saying? It ain't hard to do that. But here, you're assigned to where God assigned you at, and your gifts won't work nowhere else other than where God tells you to go. And that's where people make their mistakes, Sister Erica. If they won't use me or if they ignore me, then I'm just going to go over here. You're going to go over here, Samson, but you're going to go over here with your haircut and bald head, and your gift not going to work. Samson got his haircut and he had no strength to perform tasks that he did when he had the anointing. I'm preaching real good. He had no ability to do anything because he thought he could just go and do whatever he wanted to do. No, say resist the devil, resist the devil, resist the. If you are submitted to God and you resist that critter, he'll flee from you. He'll flee from you. This ain't hard, but people won't learn it. They won't try to learn it so that they can do it. So here's the point. Everything that's happening to you, it's not always what the Lord wants. You ever heard this? The Lord is teaching me something with this sickness. Well, I hope I learn it real quick so I don't die. The Lord is teaching me. The Lord is teaching me how to do better with money. That's why he keep me. He teaching me how to do better, you know, because if I was rich, he know I couldn't serve him. Well, I sure like to learn what I need to learn so I don't have to live broke. Say amen to this. So people will say dumb stuff. Let me clean my speech up. Everything that's happening to you is not what the Lord wants. God must be teaching me something. He's trying to humble me. See, when you know what God wants, he says, God starts talking to you. Small yourself up, son. Small yourself up. You too big. You're too big for your britches. He'll say, look at the coney. Look at the ants. Small. All through the Proverbs talk about it. Small yourself up. What is God doing? He's saying, humble yourself under my hand. See, but if affliction is humbling you, then you're getting humbled by the wrong. If you just humbled yourself under God, God would be saying, come on now, you know better. That's not right. Small yourself up. Tame your heart. Tame your spirit. I know this is boring you. Your day of adversity is coming. You just wait. But he says, small yourself up. Small yourself up. He says, and this is what's going to happen for you. Then I will exalt you once you get up under my hand. See, God puts his hand at a certain level. And for God to really do what he needs to, you got to small yourself to come up under the level that he wants you on. But if you think you're bigger than what you are, then you're outside of the will of God. And God said, this is your place. And now you don't fit where you belong because you're bigger than what God wants you to be. Say, small yourself up. Small yourself up. And once you do that, now you can fit in the will of God. Now things start to flow for you. Now things start to happen for you. Now you get your healing. Now your marriage get fit. Some of you too big to be humbled under submission. Now you understand? And that's why it won't work, because none of y'all in that house is up under the plan of God. Say, fight the good fight. Man, I don't know where all this stuff coming from. I'm still on my introduction. Say, fight the good fight. Mm-hmm. Say, fight the good fight.
Fight the good fight.
So the point is, it's not always what God wants for you. And people be just taking it. He told you last week that some things that you not to accept no more. You know, even in courtship, a lot of time people they go through the same type of relationship problem because you keep selecting the same type of woman or the same type of man. And God's saying, don't take that stuff no more. And so when that one's gone, the next one show up, he's exactly like that, because you won't discipline yourself to not be attracted to that. I'm not going to take this no more. You're not just going to roll up over here. You're not just going to call me when you want to. Okay, you don't want to play. I'm not going to accept that no more. You're not going to work me like a dog and then give somebody else the pay raise. No, sir. It's too many people in this city that could use my skill set. You either pay up or I'm out. Say amen to this. But there's some things you ain't to accept no more. You're not going to talk to me crazy in any kind of way and doing and think I'm just going to smile and keep them because I'm a Christian. I'm not finna fight, but I'm not finna let you do me like that no more. And how many know that people are a lot like the devil? When the devil knows that you mean business, he stop acting crazy with you. When people know that you mean business, you ain't got to go ghetto and crazy on them. But when people know you mean business, they treat you better. Because you're being treated how you view your own self. But God say you deserve better. You're worthy of better. You're qualified for better. So I'm not going to accept that. No. So you got to resist sickness. You got to resist poverty. You got to resist divorce. You got to resist depression. You got to resist worry. Resist it. So people, they got names for it. They call it anxiety attacks. It's a spirit of fear. It's a demon. They got medicine for it. It's being sedated. That's why you get it every so often. What do you fear? What do you fear? If you got a word from God, you are to defend that word. Once I defend my word, I don't think or worry about failing. Or it's not going to work. God cannot fail. I'm not going to fail. I know people want me to fail, but I'm not going to fail. Say, I got a word from God. I got a word. I cannot fail. So watch this. I wanted to put this in Mark 11. I want to throw this in there, though, that struggle is a form of resistance. So a lot of times people say, I'm struggling. Yes, that's good. You're under a demonic attack. And you're struggling because you're resisting. Hoo-wee. And so my struggle don't mean that I'm less than. I got to dig deep within me and find out what the scriptures got to say that will empower me. But I'm not weak because I'm struggling. Struggling mean that I am, the devil is opposing me, but my desire is to stay in the will of God. The devil is tempting me, I'm struggling, but my desire is to stay in the will of God. If I didn't have no desire, watch this, to stay in the will of God, then it would be no fight. You see how the enemy Jedi mind trick people? Making them think something wrong for them because they're struggling. See, if you struggle long enough in the right type of condition or mindset, you come out better. You come out stronger. You come out developed. The pressure, the more you resistance, that's how people get big arms and big muscles. Is that right? They put some resistance on it. And the weight will fall, and the weight has the ability, depending on how much you lift it, to kill you. But your resistance is building you. You hear me? God say, you're not going to die where you at. Your resistance is building you. Say amen. Your resistance is building you. You're on your way. Say, I'm on my way. Mark 11, watch this. 11:24. Hey, tell me for real how long I've been going. Sound booth, if you know. How much? Okay. Why you go from 40 to 50? You got somewhere to be? Come on, man. Say, come on, man. I'm going to do right. So Mark 11 says this. It says, therefore, I tell you, whatsoever you ask in prayer, therefore I tell you, who's saying this? Jesus. Jesus is saying this. He says, whatsoever you ask for in prayer, he says, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Do you know when you look up that word, receive, Sister Sanders, it means take it. When you believe, you take it. That's how you receive it. So I believe God wants me to have your iPad. So she is giving it to me. Imagine you're God. I'm believing for an iPad. It's real nice, dude. It's bigger than my screen. So I'm believing for an iPad, and God presents it to me, but then I must take it. See, a lot of people got gifts and things and promises God done gave to them, but they won't take it. If you don't take it, then you'll never get it. Watch this. Go to Numbers 13. I never gave my title. My title was Taking What Grace Provides by Faith. Taking it. In Numbers 13 and 21, I'm going to read quite a bit. Let me just get my Bible because, you know. In Numbers 13, can y'all take 10 minutes? I try not to go over an hour, so I'll try to stick with that. But in Numbers 13 and verse 21, Moses has told them to go out and spy out the land. He's told them what belongs unto them, Sister Sanders. And they got to this place, and he got a couple from each tribe, and he sent them all out. Why? Because he sent them out from each tribe because they were to bear witness of what each other saw. See? So he says, so they went up and they searched the land in the wilderness of Zin and the Rahab, and men came on the Hamah, and they ascended by the south of Hebron. Go down to verse 23. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch, one cluster of grapes, and they had to put it on a staff to carry it. Big old staff between them. That's how much it was. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the fig trees. 24. The place was called the Brook of Eshcol because of the clusters of grape which the children cut down from thence. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation. Watch this. And the children of Israel, he says, unto the wilderness of Paran, the Kadesh, brought back a word unto them and to all the congregation, showed them the fruit of the land, showed them the fruit. And they told him and said, we came into the land, whether thou send us, and surely, three times. Surely. It floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. They got the proof. They didn't get all of it. They got a portion to prove what God said was real. Are you following me? And so, nevertheless, watch this. Watch what they do. He said, Enoch, or the giants, the Amalekites dwelled with great. He says, and moreover, we saw the children of Enoch, or the giants, the Amalekites dwell in the south, Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Muscovites, the whatever, dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of the Jordan. And Caleb steeled the people because Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are yet able to overcome it. We are yet able to overcome it. But the men that went with him were, we be not able to go up, for they are stronger than us. He says, they brought up an evil report of the land which they searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants of the land, and the people that are there were of great stature. He says, and they were the sons of Enoch, giants, and they saw themselves as grasshoppers. Here's the point. In verse number 29 of Numbers 14, God was angry with them because of this. And God said unto them, he says, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. He said, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, because according to your whole number for 20 years and upward, he said, they're going to die. What happened? Was it not God's will for them to have Canaan? No, he done took them there. They refuse to take it. Here's the point. Here's the point. Listen to, look at me. Whatever God provides by grace or favor must be taken by faith. Whatever God provides to you by grace, salvation, got to be taken by faith. Healing, got to be taken by faith. Deliverance, got to be taken by faith. He became poor so that you'd be rich. It's got to be taken by this, got to be taken by faith. And what people are doing, they think because God desires for them to have it, that they're going to get it without taking it. And they are dying watching what was theirs. How many know God don't want us to die watching what's ours? They refuse to get it. Watch it. They refuse to take what, say, take it, take it, take it. They refuse to take it, take what God had given them. Why? Number one, they were looking at the difficulty or the potential struggle with the giants. They were looking at the struggle. See, a lot of you won't go to school because you work it and you can't figure out how you're going to do it. Enroll in one class. Nobody told you to get a degree overnight. They looking at the giant. God just said, go walk through the house. You talking about they disapproved me the last time. He didn't ask you. He says, wherever your foot treads, I'll give it to you. He didn't ask you to get approved first. He just said, go walk through it. He just said, go drive it. He just said, write your business plan up. But see, they looking at the difficulty. And because they looking at the difficulty, they won't pursue it at all, even though God said it's yours. I want to tell somebody today, the very thing that you refuse to go after, God say, go after it. It's already done. It's already yours. It's already done. It's already yours. Say, take it. The Bible says that the kingdom suffers violence and the violent do what? They take it by force. You got to be aggressive. You got to be the initiator. You got, if your foot land on it, I don't care if a giant is there, you can get rid of the giant. Number two, watch this. They're looking at the fact that somebody else occupied it. I already told you, there's not a shortage of wealth in the earth. Somebody got too much. There ain't no shortages in the land. Some people own seven houses and it's just them. One of them houses is yours. Say, one of them houses is mine. And it don't matter if somebody is living in it or working in it or got the spot or not. If God says it's yours, do it like it's Jericho. Go out there and just walk around it. Walk around it sometime. Walk around it. Walk around it. Say, it's already mine. One of them houses is mine. So it doesn't matter who's there. You treaded on it. It's yours. Number three. They gave too much credibility to barriers and obstacles. See, people make too many excuses to call themselves talking about living by faith. The Bible says in verse 28 that they were looking at the walled cities. How high the walled cities were. What does that represent? Barriers and obstacles. Barriers and obstacles. And they wouldn't go in because of, say, barriers and obstacles. It blocked their inheritance. What's your word? Whatever you lacking in education, training, or time, God said, don't fear the walls. You got my favor. And what I've given you by grace, you still got to take it by faith. That means that you need a word from God. You got to have a prayer life. You got to have confession. You got to know, you got to be steadfast in your faith. You got to resist demonic activity. I'm preaching the whole sermon in a few seconds because I ain't got time. You got to resist the devil as you submit it unto God. And then you say, God is on my side. God has favored me. What God has provided, I'm going to take it by faith. And you got to walk by faith, not by sight. My time is up. Stand to your feet and give the Lord a hand of praise. Come on, give him a, say, take it by force. Take it by force. Take it by force. Take it by, this is your breakthrough year. This is your year of breakthrough. This is your season of breakthrough. This is your month of breakthrough. This is your hour of breakthrough. Take it by force. Give God a praise if you believe that it's already done. It's already. It's already. It's already done. You ain't got to fear nothing. God is on your side. Shout this. Say, God is on my side. God is on my side. I will not be denied. You're going to win in this season. I say, you're going to win in this season, Sister Erica. You're going to win in this season. You're going to win in this season, brother. You're going to win in this season, Sister Donna. You're going to win in this season, Sister Keena. You're going to win, Co-Pastor. You're going to win, Sister Brown. You're going to win, Sister A. Deaconess Avery. You're going to win. You're going to win. The windows of heaven have been opened. And every door of defeat, God is shutting. God has shut. God has shut. You're not going to lose. 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 They are closed. Say, victory is before me. Victory is before me. Come on, give him one good hand, praise. Let's get out of here. You're not going to lose in this hour. Keep letting God build you up over the next few weeks. We're going to deal with that deception thing real good next week if you come back. We're going to deal with it real good. We're not going to settle for some small victory when we could have had it all. So I want it all. Say, I want it all. I'm not in no rush. So I'm not in no rush. When I get it, it's going to be big. When God delivers, it's going to be big. When God gives it, it's going to be right on time. I want to go up. I don't want to settle for less, and I got time. I'm not going to shortchange myself. Tell three people, say, don't shortchange yourself. Don't shortchange yourself. Hey, let's get out of here. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you right now, God, that you're training us, that you're teaching us, that you're making rich foundational deposits in our hearts and in our spirits, God, that'll take us, catapult us to where you want us to be. We resist every demonic influence. We come against every negative demonic word that's been released in this church and over our people. We resist it right now. Even as the enemy have spoken to some of you before you even got here, God said, reject that word. I never told you that. Reject that word. I never told you that. Reject that word. I never told you that. Father, we thank you right now, God, for what you're going to do in their lives in this hour of better, this hour of building. We thank you for what you're going to do, God. And we give you the praise for it in advance. We thank you for what you're going to do. And we give you praise for it in advance. In Jesus' name, come on, give him a good praise.